girl. Don't hurt nobody. You can be my daddy if you
ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Once again, 24's podcast. I am 24. This is my podcast, 24's podcast. Late night, Monday night, really Tuesday morning, watching the Dodgers lose to the Nats. On Jackie Robinson Day. Pitching once again, let him down. This time with Glasnow. Oh boy. Oy vey. Finding some good deals on some really important stuff actually on eBay. I'll talk about it because I'm super excited. I like saving money and spending money on expensive stuff. I like being able to buy very expensive products for less than what they should be worth. I always like doing that. I think everybody likes that. It's good deals. WNBA draft today. We'll talk about it. Shohei Ohtani as well. A little bit more. Closing the door finally on that. Among other things, ladies and gentlemen, right here. 24's podcast. Drop it like a thotty, drop it like a thotty. I say not pop it like a thotty, pop it like a thotty. We say not drop it like a thotty, drop it like a thotty. Church girls acting loose, bad girls acting snotty. Let it go, girl. Let it out, girl. Twirl that ass like you came up out the south, girl. I say not drop it like a thotty, drop it like a thotty. Bad girls acting raunchy, church girl. Don't hurt nobody. You can be my daddy if you want to. You can get it tatted if you want to. It's listening to a little bit of Renaissance, the first of Beyonce's Renaissance today. I mean, unsurprisingly, there are a lot of bangers on it. Plastic Sofa I was listening to before the podcast, Church Girl, Cuff It, Break My Soul, single, it's all right. Gotta listen to that album again. Again, super awesome production, super awesome album. Great stuff. Top of the ninth, Dodgers down by 2 runs, pitching let him down again. Multiple runs. I think Tyler Glasnow gave up a three-run home run, and that was pretty much it. I mean, it's pretty much it. I mean, the Dodgers, to their credit, have got 4 runs, but it's like, yo, can they get 6 runs? Like, I don't know. Like, no, they can't. It's like, it's a lot of offense that they have to generate. I just saw Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman all go up. All go down without, I think, a scoring run. So, you know, it's probably game. But I'm watching the game because I love watching baseball and I love watching the Dodgers. It's just so much fun. So much fun. Gosh. I have, as I'm literally looking at Tyler Glasnow right now, trending on Twitter, which is just so sad. So fucking sad. I'm so fucking sad that the Dodgers are fucking losing against the fucking Nationals. Anyways, I was kind of like debating on what to do with the rest of my refund money from college. And I'd said to myself, I was like, you know, I'm exhausted, super exhausted from school. I want to take a long break. I want to take multiple months off, get back into the swing of things, get back into working out, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like, I really hope that I can be considered a junior and take college algebra next semester. That probably will not happen. I probably have to take it in the summer, but I don't want to take it in the summer, but I probably have to take it in the summer. Even though it's like, I'll take it in July in the summer, I'm still super mega exhausted at like the prospect of going to school. So I'm just like, please, for the love of God, do not have me go to school in the summer. But I probably will. It's just like, I can't fathom it. I cannot fathom like school anymore. It's like, I need a break. I need a hard break. I need a long break. It's like, I cannot fathom going to school in the summer right now, because it's just like, I've been going, it feels like, I mean, I talked about it. I've been burnt out from school since like December. And it's just like, I need a long ass break, and I don't have it. And I haven't been able to get it. As Dodgers get three up, as Dodgers essentially get out the first and only three batters for the freaking, for the Nats, top of the ninth. It's like, can anyone deep in the roster do anything? Can they get on base? Can they make contact? Can they not get a freaking out? Please, dear God, save me. Save me on Jackie Robinson night. Please, dear God, save me. Anyways, I know it doesn't matter that much to the Dodgers. I mean, it kind of does, but you know what I mean. It's not like, what's like an important day for sports? I don't know, but you know what I mean. It's like, it's a day that everybody celebrates. By the way, took me forever to get the Dodgers game rolling. The MLB Network sure does like to not broadcast the team that literally signed the player that integrated sports. But, you know, hey, is what it is. They're like, hey, we'll put on the freaking Astros getting their butt cheeks clapped by the freaking Braves. We'll watch that game. We'll watch all these other games. It's like, I wanted to see fucking Glasnow in the early innings, but I didn't get the chance. God, I hate these. I can't wait for sports to go to streaming. All right, I'll say it. All these TV networks that have regional coverage of sports can go to hell. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. It's disgusting. I hate it, hate it, hate it. I don't know why networks do this, where they're like, we think that fans in X region like X team. And it's like, no, they don't. Everywhere is transient now. Everyone moves around. And then it's just like, simply put, there's more teams that get better ratings overall. Put those teams on. Give me my baseball team. Give me my football team. Give me my basketball team. I'm tired. I don't want to have to pay extra, because the reality is I can just fucking go online and get streams of it illegally. I don't want to have to do that, but I also don't want to have to pay $100 just to watch one fucking team. Jesus Christ. I can't wait for all of these shitty cable businesses to go out of business. It feels like an additional, with Netflix getting the WWE and the Mike Tyson, Jake Paul fight, it just seems like in the next decade that TVs, like cable televisions, are just going to be so fucking obsolete. I don't even watch I only watch it for live sports. God, man, it's just so fucking frustrating how bad some of these fucking networks are. Sorry that I'm not sorry. Oh, gosh. Anyways, I'm exhausted with school, making great grades. I have a shit ton of tests next week that I have to study for this week while doing all the other stuff, so all of my afternoons this week are booked. I still haven't done this massive, massive, massive assignment, and the more I fall behind, the worse and worse and worse and worse and worse it gets for me. So I got to get on that today. I mean, I got to get on a lot of stuff today, and it's like, I got to do this weekend's homework soon. But anyways, wow, really hoping. I mean, the reality is like, I'll probably just take the L. Like, I'll probably just not go to college algebra this summer, because it's just like, again, I'm just exhausted. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. The reason why I'm just like so over it is partially, yes. The reason why I'm like, I'm hoping that I don't have to, like, I'm seriously hoping that I don't have to go and take college algebra is A, because I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I want a long ass break. And then B, I fucking found a awesome motherfucking deal for a DAP on eBay. A DAP is a dedicated audio player, a DAP. Not that I'm going to dap up my boy, but, you know, a DAP, dedicated audio player, as, oh gosh, they get us a fucking out first batter, Gavin Lux, he gets out. Anyways, I found a fucking awesome fucking sale on a DAP and on this really, really important fucking self-study guide for like $35 that I needed for like 60. And I was like, I'm about to save $25 on this thing, and I'm about to get this DAP. This DAP costs like 500 players. It's late. Dollars. It costs $500. $500. I found an open box DAP. An open box is essentially like one that's new but has been opened. I found one for like, what is it? For like $359. This is like the one that I wanted. It's $359, which is $100 and something less than the MSRP. I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. It's the only thing that this seller has. I was just like, Jesus fucking Christ. He's like, he's got a case for it. He put the tempered glass on it. I mean, it's fucking the exact one that I wanted. And I found them over the last couple of hours. It's like the exact one that I wanted. And then it's like I go on Amazon, right? This is why it's like you have to price check some of this shit. Because Amazon has like a good deal. 2-2. Still watching baseball. Amazon has a fucking one more Evo noise canceling earbuds, which I bought like last year, or I think, what was it, last year in 2023? I bought in 2023 for like $120 something. They're now $89. Strike. No, that's no, he made contact. Never mind. I was about to say strike three. But I'm looking at all this stuff, and I'm just like, oh my God, I could fucking make bank. I could save. Yeah, I freaking bought these things a year ago for $128 more, literally on New Year's Day. Strike three. There you go. Oh my God. Mookie's up. 6-4. Washington. The Nats are up by 2. Mookie's on deck. Mookie's actually at the plate right now. He's 0-2. He hasn't hit anything all night. Not Mookie, the other guy that just struck out. Dodgers fans are leaving for the exits because they're down by 2 runs. Mookie is 1-4 for a single. It's just not the Dodgers' night. It has not been the Dodgers' night for the last 2 nights, if I'm 100% honest with you. And it's like, can they get a single or a double and then a homer, or a single and then a homer, or a single, single, then homer, and then walk off with a pimp job by Freddie Freeman? Probably not. And that's the game, as Moopy grounds out to the shortstop. And they just, it's game. Anyways, going back to what I was talking about, right? DAP, $140 less. Super important book that I need, $35 off. It's not $35 off, it's $35. So it's pretty much half off. And then it's like the one more Evo. By the way, I bought these one more Evos. That's what they're called, one more Evo. They're awesome, awesome noise-canceling earbuds. I put these things in the fucking wash. They get washed, then they get dried, and they still work. They still work. The freaking case can't hold a charge anymore whatsoever. No more charge. But they still connect to my phone. I was kind of like, it's a little bit inconsistent, but considering like I'm not out $120 something and I don't need to purchase like another set, I kind of want to because I want one that's like, that works. And it's like they're $89 now. I mean, granted, they have like a 22% sale, but it's like they're $89 fucking. It's like, why not? Why not? But I was like, please, dear God, don't let me have to take college out to run the summer so that way I can just spend all my money on fun stuff. Because that's what I want to do. I want to spend all of my money on fun stuff rather than like be financially responsible. Because I just filed for my taxes today, just like every other hardworking American. My accountant was like, nope. Not going to file your taxes at the beginning of April. I'm going to literally do your taxes literally up until 3 a.m. to like today. I'm like, dude, what the? It's April 15th. You've had months to get this shit done. On top of that, You've had 2 additional weeks and you still dropped the fucking ball. I don't know. I'm tired. Now I got to change the channel because I don't want to, because now it's like I don't have the fucking Dodgers locally. So now I have to like change the channel to avoid seeing the MLB fucking, the fucking MLB show me the replay of literally my team literally getting beaten by the fucking Nats. Jesus Christ. Besides the Dodgers losing tonight during Jackie Robinson Day, it was also a great day for sports as women's basketball had a phenomenal day today. What? What is going on? Dude, it's so weird. Like, Tupac is trending because the clip of him being like 17 years old and being like a theater kid is going around and stuff like that. And I was just like, I just don't understand it. I mean, it's definitely like a bunch of white people. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind. I'm like, oh, yeah. Never mind. It's like, yeah, it's just a lot of weird white people who did not know that Tupac, like, went to an art school in like Baltimore before like being hardened. Like I saw the what is it, the not the autobiography but the movie about Tupac, what is it, the biopic. I saw the biopic of it, and it was like Tupac was literally probably on pace, like he wrote poetry and stuff like that. He went to an art school in Baltimore and then he literally grew up in Compton, and it's just like, oh, that's why he essentially became a gangster. It's like, oh my God, he grew up in Compton. That explains it all. But people are like, Tupac is gay. I'm like, oh gosh, I hate. Twitter really is like becoming a cesspool. I mean, it really, it's just so bad now. It's just like all this shit. I always get weird shit now from weird fucking people. I get weird recommendations, weird trending shit. I got this guy, his name is like Jeff Rucker. I got this guy constantly in my like recommendations of like related tabs, and I was like, I have no idea who this is. I had to block him even after I fucking blocked this guy. He was like a random sports journalist or something. Who was he? Hold on, let me look him up really, really, really fast, because I kept on getting him in my recommendations for like accounts to follow, and I was like, this is not a person that I want. Who is Jeff Rucker? Hold on. Like, I don't even know. He has 127 followers, and like they just kept on spamming his account. Like Twitter just kept on spamming his account in my recommendations. I have no idea who this person is, but I kept on getting his like account recommended to me. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with Twitter? Sorry. Anyways, as I was saying, awesome night for sports outside of the Dodgers losing to the fucking Nationals. It was a great night for women's sports as well. I'm watching on TNT Captain America Civil War, which is the, of course, the movie with the awesome introduction of Chadwick Boseman's incomparable Black Panther, which, I mean, I don't even think this is controversial. The first Black Panther suit that he dons is so much better than the Black Panther suit, than the second Black Panther suit, which is like this kind of like CGI mess. It's like, it feels like the first Black Panther suit is more made out of practical effects. Second one, CGI mess. It doesn't look right at all. I like the first one. I like the Black Panther, the first Black Panther suit looks like Black Panther. It's menacing. It's awesome. It's kind of like, it's just so awesome. I love it so much. The second one, I'm like, eh. Eh. And then it's like they carved out his eyes. So like the eye slits show his eyes. And I'm just like, I just don't know. I mean, granted, the mask, the helmet of the second suit is more, I guess, is more Puma-like. But I like the other one more. I mean, it literally looks like the one in the comics with the necklace and the mask. I love it. I love it more. Gosh, man, he looks so fucking cool. The concept art is fucking great. Jesus Christ, man. They gotta bring that suit back in the next one. They gotta fucking bring it back. Gosh. Anyways, awesome night for women's pro sports, women's basketball. It's been an awesome year for women's basketball. A sports league that has constantly been shitted on by kind of outside presences. Women's basketball, especially the WNBA, has been fantastic, phenomenal. It's been great. Or not fantastic and phenomenal. It's just been missing star power. Now, granted, they've had stars in it, but they haven't, very similarly to the MLB with certain athletes, they don't really have star power, right? Like, a couple of years ago, Shohei Ohtani was kind of an obscure figure in popular culture. Now, everyone knows that because of not only the World Baseball Classic, but also because he is Japanese and the whole fucking country of Japan rides for him. Nobody cared when he was an Anaheim Angel, sorry, not sorry, but now that he's a Dodger and now that his money is up, World Baseball Classic, like 2023 was a great year for Shohei Ohtani when it comes to like the reach of him. Like everyone kind of started to know who he was, and as well as 2022, to be honest with you. But I walk down the street. I show a picture of Mike Trout. Nobody knows who Mike Trout is. Freddie Freeman. Nobody knows who Freddie Freeman is. I don't even think people... I mean, these are all Dodgers. Like, if I show Mookie Betts, like, who's a great baseball player, like, one of the best baseball players on the planet, I don't think people know who he is. He's, like, one of the top five baseball players on the planet right now. Nobody knows who he is. I mean, I do because I'm a Dodgers fan. But it's like, if I show Mookie Betts, they probably don't know who he is. If I show Michael Cole, same thing, you know? It's just, it's one of those things that it's just, baseball is very, very, very insular and super kind of niche. So it's like, I don't know, man. It's hard. It's hard to figure out who these players are, or it's hard to like, it's hard to extend that reach of that sport. And I think the WNBA has a very similar problem. Where it's like there are very little to no basketball players that kind of breach that popular culture barrier, at least in my opinion, positively, you know? Maybe not positively is the right word, but you know what I mean. Like, I think one person that's done a great job in breaching that that barrier has been Candace Parker. I think she's been great. But for me, the main reason why I know of Candace Parker is because of her broadcasting on Inside the NBA on TNT. Honestly, like, admittedly, I know she's been great. I know she's been fantastic. I haven't really seen a full Candace Parker game, I don't think, in my entire life. I know that's not true. I have, but I just cannot remember it. You know, I just don't watch her basketball frequently. I mean, that's not really true. I think, like, it's just... Me saying, like, that the WNBA doesn't have, like, awesome, maybe not awesome players. I wasn't saying awesome players, but players that have breached kind of, like, certain cultural barriers. Like, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I know who Taurasi is. I know who Sue Bird is. You know, I know who Breanna Stewart is. I know a lot of basketball players. It's just a lot of WNBA players. It's just complicated. But I mean, I watch a lot more WNBA basketball than a lot of people. But as much as I've watched a lot of WNBA over the years, as much as I've watched a lot of women's basketball over the years, I still have not like really seen a breakout star or athlete, a face of the WNBA. And for me, I think the WNBA has found that face, and that face being Caitlin Clark. My issue with the WNBA, it's not like you'll have, like whenever people will say like my issue with the WNBA is like whenever these women are demanding essentially to get paid more money, and then people will say, well, nobody's watching the sport and da-da-da-da-da. Like, my issue with the WNBA is this. I feel like they do not embrace some of their younger players, and you kind of saw it with Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird's kind of show and how they were talking about Caitlin Clark, among other things. I think this draft has really provided the unique opportunity for the WNBA to really change that rhetoric and to change kind of how they are viewed as a sport and as an organization, in my opinion. And the reason for this is that the WNBA finally has a supremely talented draft of modern day interesting basketball players this year as well as last year. They have had fantastic players come into their league over the last couple of years. A lot of talent, a lot of skill. I mean, this group of young ladies is going to carry the fucking sport and potentially propel it to cataclysmically new heights that I don't think we've seen for the sport. Just to kind of like name a few players here, if I can pull up the draft here. Give me like 2 seconds because it's just, I don't have it on Twitter. I apologize. But like, kind of just to name kind of a few players, right? Caitlin Clark obviously goes to the Indiana Fever. Cameron Brink goes to the Sparks, the Los Angeles Sparks. And then Camila Cardosa goes to the Chicago Sky. And let's talk about kind of like those three players here first. And not even those three players. We'll just kind of talk about just the draft as a whole here. So, really, this draft probably could have been, and I feel like this is kind of just being a little bit undersold here, but the reality of the situation is that this draft probably could have been the most talented draft in the history of this sport if Paige Bueckers had came out. I just realized today as I was watching the draft, because it was like I was getting to like the third, or really it was the second pick overall, when Cameron Brink to the Sparks, where I was just like, why is the Sparks drafting Cameron Brink instead of Paige Bueckers, or Chicago Sky getting Camila Cardosa? I was just like, I don't understand what's going on. And then of course I come to learn and I come to find out that Paige Bueckers has gone back to school, and she's going to play out her last and final year with UConn, which UConn probably, I mean, UConn is always the favorite, but now they should be, because it's like, Jesus Christ, all the good fucking players are now gone. Like, all of the players are gone. They're all gone. There are no more players. She doesn't have to worry about Angel Reese. She doesn't have to worry about Caitlin Clark dropping 40 points, pulling up from half court, etc., etc. Like, they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Or technically, she doesn't have to worry about any of that stuff. And hopefully, she doesn't have another injury. Because that's why she didn't play in 2022 for the most part, because she didn't have any injuries. Or she did have an injury, And then last season, of course, Paige Bueckers was phenomenal. Sorry, I'm watching. Hold on. I'm watching Civil War, which, hold on, I got to talk about this if I can deviate. Hold on. Sorry. This is, oh God, I was watching this scene where Steve Rogers asks if he can have his shield back, and of course, Black Widow responds with, technically, it's the government's property and the shield too, which is just a fantastic line. Honestly, the more I watch Civil War, the more appreciation I have for that event in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's an 8-year-old film, Jesus Christ. The reason why is, like, Captain America Civil War in the Marvel Comics, I will deviate, in the Marvel Comics is like this very, it is a very much huge, important, significant event. There was absolutely no way that Marvel could replicate or duplicate that. I mean, it was a Marvel Civil War, meaning like superheroes fought against superheroes. And the line that was drawn in the sand was between Captain America and Iron Man, and Iron Man essentially on the side of the government being like, superheroes have to be registered government employees, they have to register with the government, they have to reveal their secret identities, there is no more vigilantism, there's none of that anymore, you have to be a government employee. And then Captain America was for freedom and for superheroes and for and all that good stuff. And really, the event itself, the repercussions of it, are still being felt like 20 years into the future in Marvel Comics, etc., etc. I think that the actual fight between Captain America, the philosophical fight, isn't as strong in the comics as it is in the movies. I think Iron Man has a better representation of it, or not a better representation of it, but Robert Downey Jr.'s version of Iron Man with all of his issues, I think that this version, the movie version, is significantly better than the comic book version of it. I think it's just phenomenal. And of course, there's like some really nice and awesome twists in the film as well. And Captain America is still Captain America and all that good stuff. But it's just, it's an awesome film. Awesome, awesome, awesome film. Sorry, going back to the WNBA. Anyways, huge amount of talent in the WNBA draft. Really would be a shame if the WNBA does not capitalize on this. I think they should give the keys, if Caitlin Clark can prove herself, I think they should give the keys to Caitlin Clark and she should be the face of the WNBA. I think the WNBA has kind of had a lack of focus, in my opinion. They haven't had a popular star, a popular athlete, and they've done a lot of things right, but I feel like the WNBA should make a ridiculously hard push to have a face for women's basketball. And by women's basketball, I mean like planet-wide, international face. The thing about the NBA is that it's kind of struggling kind of a little bit with that as well. Like, there was Magic and Bird in the 80s, Michael Jordan in the 90s, and then like there was a little bit of a span where there kind of was and wasn't a face. Like, Kobe really wasn't the face of the NBA in the early 2000s. Some people may agree, some people may disagree. I don't think he was the face of the NBA. There was 5 championships split between Kobe Bryant and the Spurs with Tim Duncan. And I don't think really either one was the face of the NBA. I think they were great players, but I don't think they were the face. I think the face of the NBA for the last 20 years has been LeBron James. And the NBA has kind of like reluctantly admitted that LeBron is kind of like aging out and they kind of have to move on with their with like who the face of the NBA is, and they kind of have to move on, and they have to essentially be like, well, all right, LeBron isn't the face. It's got to be somebody else. It's got to be Jokic or Giannis, more likely than not. It's got to be one of those two players. And they're trying to kind of fit them in and incorporate them. And really, it looks like the face of the NBA, they're kind of trying to market Jokic to be that. But we'll kind of see. But LeBron is still, because LeBron is still this huge figure, it's hard to transition out of LeBron to Jokic, even though Jokic probably is the best basketball player on the planet. I think within, and by the way, like, undoubtedly, Victor Wembanyama is kind of this interesting premise or this interesting figure within the NBA as well. Regardless, a lot of figures that can essentially, and the NBA knows how to market their respective teams, right? Or these respective players. They know how to market. They've been doing it for 40 years. They've been doing it since the 80s. But the WNBA started out in the 90s, and they don't really have a lot of experience with it, nor do they have really a lot of players in the sport that they can market. Who was it? Sally Hoops was like one player. I don't know really early 2000s basketball for the WNBA. I know like kind of like early to mid 2010s women's basketball. Again, some of the main faces and some of the players and things of that nature. But like, for example, Sue Bird is a excellent basketball player. Fantastic. Phenomenal. And honestly, I think it was about 7 years ago that I learned that not only that Larry Bird had a child, but that his child, his daughter, was Sue Bird, and that Sue Bird just so happened to be one of the greatest basketball players on the planet. Like, that's how obscure the WNBA is. And I was just like, why isn't the WNBA pushing Sue Bird significantly more? Because she really could and should have been the face of the WNBA. The same thing goes for Diana Taurasi. And I think, whether it was warranted or not, unfortunately, you saw these two, like, women who really could have and should have been the two, like, halves of the same face of the WNBA. These two massive figures that had pedigree, accomplishments, and accolades within the sport for the better part of, like, a decade and a half, and neither one of them is very well known. Like, I don't know. It's just one of those things where it's just like huge swing and a miss. Huge swing and a miss. Sorry, I had to take a swig of my water. But it's like, as we get out of Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi, and we have this missed opportunity, you have now the young phenom with the New York Liberty, Ionescu, no idea how to pronounce her last name because it is very hard. I'm like, it's a very hard pronunciation. But you have her and how awesome she is, and how, I mean, just again, these last 4 months have been phenomenal for women's basketball. And I said it, I think last week as well, before the draft, I was like, oh my God. I mean, they had the Sabrina Ionescu thing with Stephen Curry where she's fucking dropping dimes and shooting freaking the lights out of the gym. You have dumbass Kenny Smith Jr. Get him out. Never a fit. He should never comment on that shit ever again. He was god awful. Terrible night for him. Never fucking comment on that shit ever again. Never want to see him on that shit. But overall, she was fantastic. Goes toe-to-toe, not only with Stephen Curry, but ties Damian Lillard's best kind of shots this season. I think they should incorporate WNBA shooters into the three-point contest, especially when it's just like, I got bums. I got dudes who I don't even know who some of these guys are. So, like, the All-Star game is for All-Stars, and they got dudes who I'm just like, what? Like, Curry should be in this fucking thing every single year, but every single year he would fucking win the fucking three-point contest. It sucks. Same thing goes with like the dunk contest. It's like LeBron at age 40 can still dunk. He's never been in a dunk contest before because he doesn't care. None of, like, as much shit as LeBron James gets for being in the dunk contest, has Giannis ever been in the dunk contest? Has, like, who else is, like, an awesome fucking dunker that's, like, still in the NBA that's, like, super athletic? Has Kawhi? Like, Kawhi's, like, super athletic. I mean, he's been hurt for, like, the last 4 or 5 years, but still. Like, I would have liked to seen Kawhi in it. Who else is, like, another one? Another uberly athletic player like DeMar DeRozan. I don't know. Before he became a Bull. Maybe even during a Bull. I don't know. It's really difficult when for me to be invested in the All-Star games and some of the mini games when it's like the players aren't invested in it. It's just like, just fucking figure out what the diff is. But it's like, I remember somebody talking about it and they're like, dude, you can't tell these guys anything. You can't tell these guys to go out and play for like 100K when they're making tens of millions of dollars annually. You know, what are you going to do? Oh, hey, you know, we want to donate $500,000 to your favorite charity. It's like, dude, I can literally do that myself and not play in your game. I don't want to do this. I play basketball for a living, so pay me millions upon millions of dollars. NBA is just not going to do that. I think the NBA has got to figure out, like, you know what I think is interesting? That the NBA, no, they can't do that. The All-Star game is during, like, the basketball season, the regular season for college. I was going to suggest that the NBA get some of these college basketball players and freaking have them dunk and have them shoot. Just something, you know? Something interesting. My God. Anyways, going back to the WNBA draft, as I was talking about, kind of just like All-Star games and stuff like that. So, in the WNBA, you finally have not just top-tier athletes. You have the top-tier athletes, obviously, now. But you also have a lot of talent being injected into the WNBA. A lot of it's great. Talked about how it could have been essentially one of the best drafts ever when it comes to talent if they had Paige Beckers. I mean, the reality is you probably have, like, Caitlin Clark, who's probably going to be a Hall of Famer, Cameron Brink, probably a Hall of Famer, Camila Cardosa, probably going to be a Hall of Famer, like, Angel Reese, like, probably going to be a Hall of Famer as well. Like, you have some really, really, Aliyah Edwards is another interesting name in the mix as well. Like, you had a really, really awesome fucking draft this year. And it's like the top three have, like, really, really awesome chances and an awesome shot to, especially like Caitlin Clark and Cameron Brink. You have a really, really fucking, those two have a really, really fucking awesome shot to be really, really awesome fucking basketball players. I'm so happy for them. I'm so happy for fucking women's basketball. WNBA, for the love of Christ, please, for the love of fucking Christ, please, for the love of Christ, fucking run the table and fucking promote some of these girls. And it's like, the cool thing is, they play in like 2 weeks. The WNBA, the Indiana Fever, in the preseason against the Dallas Wings, they play in Dallas, 7 p.m. CDT, which is awesome. That's Caitlin Clark and Aliyah Boston. Aliyah Boston from the South Carolina team that won a national championship like 2 years ago. So it's like, you got pedigree. You got awesome fucking players on some of these teams. And again, right, I talked about this a couple of years ago. I talked about, and this will probably be one of the final things that I talk about, one of the final aspects when I talk about this stuff. Like, a couple of years ago, I'm watching, you know, highlights of like the U.S. men's team and then the Olympics team. And I get recommended the 18-year-old women's team because I watched a little bit of the 18-year-old men's team. If you don't know, the United States and other countries, they send teenagers to compete in the Olympics. And I'm watching like the men's team, and I'm like, eh, this isn't that interesting. And then I see kind of this like documentary on Haley Van Lith, and then I also see that she mentions that she's a part of the national basketball team for the United States, and I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I get some videos recommended, and I'm like, I like basketball, I'll watch it. And I was shocked at how fucking much these girls played with like skill and talent, and they really modernized the game, and they were really, really awesome. And they had so much awesome. Oh my God, as I'm watching the Winter Soldier beat up on Tony, Black Widow, and Peggy Carter's granddaughter. I'm just watching all this shit. And now T'Challa wants him, but he doesn't have his fucking suit. He's got to get the fucking suit. Anyways, going back to what I was talking about with, I don't even remember what. Sorry, I'm now watching T'Challa figure out that he's got vibranium. Sorry. But anyways, the WNBA draft has like all this fucking talent. They can leverage all of it. They can have an awesome league. They can make awesome fucking players. They can have awesome games. They have the rivalries from college, very similarly to the Magic Johnson, Larry Bird situation, and also Kareem as well. And it's just like, I really hope, and they just have such an influx of talent, and it's still not over with. They still have Paige Beckers next year. It's like they have so much talent, and they have such an influx of talent, and I'm like, please, please leverage this into making your sports league like really interesting. As much as people, including myself, do not want to admit it, drama kind of like sells in these leagues. I mean, you don't necessarily want to make it unwarranted, and also you don't want to force it, but it's like some of these storylines are already kind of permeating throughout the WNBA. I mean, the WNBA as a league is now going to try and smash Caitlin Clark and prove that she's not like the face of basketball, because they're like who the fuck is this guy, or this girl, technically who the fuck is this young girl that comes into the league thinking that she can smash it? You know, I mean, she's dropping 40 points a game during the NCAA tournament. It's like, we've never seen that shit before. I mean, quite frankly put, we don't really see a lot of WNBA players average checks notes, or really NBA players as well, coming into the league. We don't see them averaging 28 points a game. Like, that's insane. Insane. I mean, she's going to be awesome for the Indiana Fever. She's going to be awesome for women's basketball. She's going to be awesome for basketball in general. And it's just like, please, WNBA, please take advantage of this. And I think the WNBA kind of knows it, because she was plastered all over everything, as she should be, because she's now the face, officially, unofficially, of the WNBA. It's like, if Caitlin Clark freaking is dropping dime. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to watch Indiana Fever games this summer. Anyways, should be fun. Should be a whole lot of fun. I can't wait. Oh, oy vey. Please, dear God. Please, dear God. Sorry. Please be successful. Please do the right thing. I was watching this. The final thing I'll kind of talk about is the whole Rich Eisen thing, where he goes on with Jeff Passan, and they have this. And I'm done with the whole Shohei Ohtani isn't innocent. He's guilty, or there's more questions. And all I was doing was just asking dumbass questions. I'm Rich Eisen, who's lazy and incompetent. Excuse me. But I've had it. I'm done with it. This is kind of the final time that I will address the Shohei Ohtani gambling allegations, which are just that. Officially, not officially unofficially, or unofficially officially, it is officially official. They are allegations that have officially been disproven by the federal government. and I will not play any more Rich Eisen or even Jeff Passan, who both of them have like speculated on this for weeks, and both of them are now just consistently wrong. And now it's not even like, it's getting to the point where, to be honest with you, Shohei Ohtani, it's kind of like, it's not defamation. It really isn't, because they aren't saying that he is committing these horrendous acts, but it's kind of getting close to defamation, because they both know that he is not guilty and that he is a victim of getting $16 million stolen by a good friend of his and also someone who he considered an employee. Like, he's the victim in this. This isn't even a question. And so for people to continuously try to perpetuate a narrative that Shohei Ohtani is guilty, or to try and raise suspicion, I literally saw Jeff Passan essentially say that there could be a conspiracy theory. You know what? I said I wasn't going to play it. I will play it. Because it is such a ridiculous thing, and it's so irresponsible for a journalist to even try to make the implication that there is some type of conspiracy theory or plot, a conspiracy plot with Shohei Ohtani and the federal government and also his agent and the Dodgers and the Angels. It's like some weird flat earth conspiracy theory that Jeff Passan just so casually throws out as a way to justify his horrendous speculation. It is horrendous speculation, and it's just like the more and more and more people try to defend their horrendous speculation, the more ridiculous they look. Give me like 2 seconds to find the clip. Hold on. All right, hold on. Give me like 2 seconds. Got it. Here it is. Here's the clip where Jeff Passan, who is like ESPN's lead MLB journalist, again, just fucking casually throws out the conspiracy theory that, oops, maybe Shohei Ohtani potentially somehow is able to manipulate the federal government. By the way, a government that he is not affiliated with anyway. Like, he's not American. He's Japanese. It's like, how does he have connect? Regardless, Jeff Passan casually throws out, well, maybe Shohei Ohtani freaking somehow bribed the federal government, bribed the Dodgers, bribed the Angels, bribed his manager, bribed this illegal bookie, like bribed all of these people or manipulated all of these people into essentially looking over his $16 million gambling thing, and then also that his manager slash interpreter in Ipe, his former manager slash interpreter Ipe Mizuhara, also is going to take the fall and is like in a lot of serious deep trouble because of his stealing, his gambling. This is Jeff Passan throwing out that accusation very casually.
Ever, because look, there could be a grand conspiracy in place here, but that conspiracy would involve Shohei Ohtani, Ipe Mizuhara, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Los Angeles Angels, the federal government, authorities, Ohtani's agent, his accountant, his financial advisor, banks. Like, there's so many different parts of this that in order for you to believe that this was actually Shohei Ohtani and not Ipe Mitsuhara, you have to believe that everyone played his or her role to a T and fooled everyone. Now,
the thing about it is, he throws that rhetorical question out, or really it's kind of a statement out, kind of in a facetious manner. But the thing about it is, there are actual people who believe that Shohei Ohtani bribed or manipulated the government, the Dodgers, banks, lawyers, et cetera, into somehow, some way hiding, not that he gambled on the Dodgers or on the Angels, but that he gambled on horse racing. And again, I have to reinforce the truth that it wasn't Shohei Ohtani who gambled. It was that his former interpreter slash manager stole all of his money, or stole $16 million from him. And that we know of, by the way. Now, stole $16 million from him and lied about it to the press, specifically Tisha Thompson of ESPN, who then ran with a god-awful story and narrative that literally she gets lied to by Mizuhara twice. I'll play like a little bit more and then I'll address it.
We've seen situations in life where that has happened. But the truth
is, we haven't fucking seen that ever. This is why this quote pisses me off so much. It's like, where have we seen that? Where have we seen a dude be able to lie and get teams to fucking ride for him, banks to lie for him, lawyers, federal agencies, managers, literally people are going to jail for this. Stop the cap. Shut the fuck up. That's never happened. I'd bet my bottom dollar on it. Never happened. That a baseball player is able to manipulate the federal government and teams and also get somebody to essentially be the fall guy for him and goes to jail, gets divorced, his entire life gets ruined, and he's now like a loser. And, oh, by the way, this person that is the fall guy, like, literally testifies and says, like, I'm a shitty gambler, like, in text message, not even testifies, like, he in text messages says that I am a shitty gambler and I will still fucking gamble I'll fucking steal millions upon millions of dollars and I'm a shitty gambler. I don't know why I'm gambling. Spoiler, he's addicted. That's why. I'll read you this quote from, ironically enough, a comment who has way more sense than both Jeff Passan of ESPN and Rich Eisen, who has no sense, and Tisha Thompson. The quote is, several days before the feds cleared Ohtani, Jeff Passan went to Michael Kay's show and said this case was rotten as hell. Because Jeff Passan is an idiot. Passan, Tisha Thompson, and ex-ESPN, that was in parentheses, Rich Eisen were all too sensational to the extent they all created a baseless cloud of suspicion under or surrounding Ohtani. First, they tried to spread Mizuhara's bogus confession even after he recanted it. Second, they emphasized on, quote, change of story by Ohtani, which didn't exist. Ohtani never changed his fucking story. They misunderstood the Tisha Thompson quote, and they took the Tisha Thompson interview because she kind of didn't understand what was going on either because of her stupidity and her naivete. She didn't understand that Shohei Ohtani's statement did not match up with Mizuhara's statement. And I was like, but these are two different parties, two different entities. You have to separate both of them. And she was like, Shohei Ohtani's quote changed. And I was like, it never changed. Never. Continuing forward. Third, they question if and which authorities have been contacted by Ohtani's lawyers. Fourth, they repeatedly question if the perpetrated theft was possible without Ohtani's involvement or knowledge. So essentially, to try and poke holes into this, into the truth, what they start to essentially do is Gish Gallop by asking horrendous questions. Gish Gallop is a debate term where essentially you just make arguments regardless of the actual soundness of those arguments. So essentially you just are trying to overload a person with bad arguments. And that's exactly what they did. And so they argued via questioning. They questioned, they were like, and it's really making implications. What essentially they did was they were starting to say like, I wonder if this happens. I wonder if that happens. I wonder if this happens. I wonder, none of it happened. Of course it didn't. They were like, how does Shohei Ohtani do this? How, and it's just like you would give them a response. Like, how does Shohei Ohtani have X amount of wire transactions under his name? Oh my gosh, his accountant, or excuse me, his translator has access to his bank accounts because all of his bank accounts, he runs through Mizuhara. Because how is he supposed to get the money from the fucking Dodgers? Well, I don't know. He fucking speaks English and he translates anything and everything Shohei Ohtani says. That's how. But they essentially make these horrendous arguments through implication with questioning. And it's bad questioning. It's kind of like watching the case of the of Darrell Brooks, who's the guy that ran into a parade with his SUV, kind of like asked these horrendous questions during cross-examination. This happened in like a Christmas parade a couple of years ago in Wisconsin. This guy runs his SUV into a parade and he kills like a bunch of people. And his court case was hilarious and horrendous and psychotic all at the exact same time, because this person, I dropped my pen, hold on. Sorry about that. This person self-represented or represented himself. He was not a practicing attorney, but he represented himself because he didn't want a court-appointed attorney, and he probably couldn't afford an attorney, and he wanted to represent himself. Regardless, he represents himself, and it's an utter disaster. And he essentially has this horrendous line of questioning during cross-examination. Oh, there was even a worse case where a man who, like, kills the mother of his children or of his child, and then he, like, stabs his son, is, like, cross-examining his son. And so this man in, like, Florida, like, kills his wife, like, almost tries to stab his son to death. Terrible stuff. And then cross-examines his son. A cross-examination is an interrogation, really. It's an interrogation. It's a legal interrogation for the most part. And so he interrogates his son in the fucking court because he represents himself. There's two different cases. I've been a little bit confusing. One happened in Wisconsin. The other happened in Florida. I'm referencing the one that happened in Florida. Dude literally interrogates his son. It's terrible. It's awful. He asks a shit ton of bad questions. The son is like, one of his questions was like, he asks to his son, he's like, did I stab you? And then the son is like, yes. And then he had no response for it. And it kind of like this whole horrendous line of questioning that Rich Eisen and other idiots and schmucks have done is kind of in line to that, obviously without the severity of it. But it is like the same psychopathic responses or questioning that I have seen from like literal murderers. It's like, dude, what are you doing? Again, without the severity and without the implications, or not implications, but impact, right? Like, it's not like people are getting murdered, but it's like the same form of like narcissism that I see from literally these dudes that are like, I didn't do anything when it comes to killing people. It's weird. It's weird. Again, it doesn't have the severity of it, but it's just like, it's so weird. It's like, bro, how are you this narcissistic that you think your questions are that like good or are that insightful, that lead to really, really great conclusions or insightful conclusions? It's a bit ridiculous. Continuing forward with this comment on Rich Eisen's Rich Eisen's show. I didn't even freaking play it. The Rich Eisen full. I didn't even put in Rich Eisen. I mean, technically, it's on his show, but it was Jeff Passan who was talking. I'm a little bit tired. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Anyways, feds cleared all of these doubts and say Ohtani was a victim through and through. Ohtani had previously stated such in the clearest language an unusually strong legal position. The victim has no further obligation to answer to anyone else but authorities, to which he fully cooperated. Again, check and check. ESPN should look back and think what they did. I can imagine Thompson's eyes lit up when she saw Ohtani's name in the leaked investigation. Full stop. She did. She wanted to report this. She probably thought that this would go further. She either potentially thought that Mizuhara was lying when he told her that Ohtani had paid off his gambling debt, and she probably thought, well, there's probably something else to this. And where that would go and lead to was that, oh, this is what she's thinking, probably, that Ohtani not only covered up Mizuhara's gambling debt, but also his own gambling debt as well. Or that he used Mizuhara as a proxy to gamble. That's probably what she thought. As evident by the way that the article is written and the implications, the subtle implications that she has throughout the article. It's very subtle. It's in the subtext, not the forefront context. So, kind of continuing forward with that. This could have been her career-defining moment as the breaker of the next Pete Rose, but trying to publish Mizuhara's initial account without directly vetting Ohtani is beyond sloppy. She didn't vet anything. She didn't vet any of her sources. It was ridiculous. It was bad. I don't know what she was playing at. It was a garbage job by Tisha Thompson. She was saved by Ohtani's lawyers and LA Times, but went on to publish Ipe's lies anyway to cause enough damage and confusion. To the extent Ohtani haters continue to throw their Fall Guy conspiracy theories even today, Rich Eisen should have taken the wait and see. Literally, this is what I did. I was like, I'll wait and see. Wait and see approach despite all this McGuire nonsense, which itself created the presumption of guilt. It did. Instead, Eisen, a self-proclaimed Ohtani fan, used his platform to actively contribute to creating the atmosphere of suspicion. And he still does, with having Jeff Passan on and not full stop stopping him and saying, like, Jeff, hey, love ya, love your work. Literally, the federal government got involved and essentially said, like, look, this isn't true. And again, this is kind of getting to the point of, like, defamation, where if Shohei Ohtani really wanted to go after them, they could be like, hey, stop saying or stop asking these dumbass questions. I mean, technically speaking, you kind of can ask questions, but if you ask questions that you already know the answer to, the asking questions isn't really genuine. You're not genuinely asking these questions. You're now creating an air of suspicion through asking rhetorical questions that you already know the answer to. It's like saying, for example, it's essentially trying to create an air of suspicion where there is none. And if he pushes a little bit further where he's like, I don't understand how Ohtani, for example, does this, which Eisen has done. He's like, I don't understand how Shohei Ohtani can lose like $4 million. Like, he always says that. Technically, it's $16 million now. And it's just like, dude, you should actually read the articles before constantly saying that. Like, that is actually kind of defamation. Like, he's like, I don't know how he lost all this money. It's like, well, read the fucking report, which you supposedly read, and also the statements that Ohtani has released in regards to this. I'm so sick of guys, these idiot loser, quote-unquote MLB fans, talking about Shohei Ohtani, talking about this horrendous story where Shohei Ohtani is obviously the victim. And for some weird reason, I got stooges still questioning if Ohtani is guilty or not. And they're like, oh, this is rude. Or not rude, excuse me. But, oh, this is weird. And oh, da da ba ba ba. And it's just like, oh my God, you are a moron of epic proportions. Epic proportions. But that's it. That's the final time I'm going to talk about this. I was going to end the podcast here, but I do have some house cleaning to do. Should I talk about this? Should I reference this? I should, just to get it out of the way. Cam Newton, I was also... Oh, you know what? Let's talk about the whole... Should I talk about OJ's death? I have, like, zero motivation to talk about OJ Simpson. OJ Simpson is beyond my time, and anything he did in the NFL... You know what? I'll just end it like this. OJ Simpson, beyond my time. Anything that he did in the NFL, I don't really care about. And I certainly don't care about his impact on the NFL. Like, there's this interesting story or this interesting concept of, like, of Hall of Famers. And the concept is, can you tell the story of football without X player in it? Like, the reality is, you can tell a lot of the history of the sport without certain players in it. And it's like, OJ Simpson is kind of one of those players. Like, I didn't know OJ Simpson had 2,000 yards in one season with a 14-game season. And quite personally speaking, I don't really care. Like, I don't really care that OJ Simpson was like this. Like, I hate how sports media over the last week has kind of tried to, like, rewrite history and been like, OJ Simpson is like this awesome player and da 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 da. And he had this, he murdered somebody and got away with it. Let's just have that conversation. And it's like, it's so weird that, like, all of these 50, 60 year old media members, these, like, guys with no perspective and no fucking guts, go out of their way and are like, oh my God, OJ Simpson is this awesome person and yada yada yada, and he did amazing things and he ran and for this amount of yards. And it's just like, nobody gives a shit, you know? Nobody gives a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I think he was a deranged lunatic psychopath who fucking got away with murder and constantly tried to project that he was this innocent man, which was a farce. And I had, like, zero tolerance and zero patience for this foolishness. And I still do. I still have zero tolerance and patience for this foolishness. And especially when it comes to, like, media members gassing up a murderer for, like, no apparent reason. I'm like, come on, guys. Be fucking better. Please and thank you. I was going to play a Michael Wilbon quote where Michael Wilbon is, like, gassing up Shohei. Not Shohei, excuse me. But he's, like, gassing up OJ Simpson. And I'm like, out of all of the hills that you can potentially die on, out of all of the people that you could support or not support, you pick to, like, try to go to bat for fucking OJ Simpson? I just don't get it. You know what I mean? It's just weird to me. Speaking of weird, let's talk about Cam Newton and his conversation with Shannon Sharp, which was, how do I put this? I watched 3 clips of it. You know what I hated about this podcast, if I'm 100% honest with you? I hated that this podcast, especially from Cam's perspective, I hated how much air of, like, relevance and significance Cam, like, kind of tries to carry himself with. Like, I'm just sick of Cam Newton right now. And how he, like, essentially talks like he's still in the game, like he still reps the game, like he is still a significant figure within football, or more specifically, that he was a significant figure in football. It's like, it's one of the things that I can't really, like, stand when it comes to this type of stuff, where it's just like, I just don't really care about Cam Newton. I really don't. It's just so annoying that he's just getting gassed the fuck up. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't believe it. It was just, like, Shannon talks to him for over an hour. I watched, like, 3 clips of it because I was curious, like anyone else, who has an interesting bone in their body. I'm like, I'm curious about Cam Newton's response. I'm curious to this interview because Cam Newton and Shannon Sharpe have had some back and forth. And it was just, it was kind of like predictable. It was kind of boring. And more importantly, I was just like, why are we talking to Cam Newton again? Like, we don't talk to Matt Ryan and we don't like pay attention to what Matt Ryan says, you know? Like, Matt Ryan right now is an analyst for NBC or CBS. I don't know which one. Like, I don't even know what network he works for. I don't know where Matt Ryan works for. But we don't talk about Matt Ryan with any interest. And it's like Cam Newton and Matt Ryan are essentially the exact same player. With Matt Ryan, I think Matt Ryan has better passing stats than Cam. I don't know, man. It's just one of those things that it's just like when I listen to Cam Newton talk, I'm just like, why exactly are we fucking giving him any attention? I don't know. But he said something interesting, and I'll talk about it in a second. But he said something interesting about Deion Sanders, his son, because Deion Sanders has said that he will select where his son and Travis Hunter will go, and he's listed out a group of teams as to where they will go. And Cam Newton says that he doesn't have the juice, and we'll talk about it in a second. But here's Cam Newton talking to Shannon Sharpe on his podcast, Nightcap, where he says that Shador Sanders and Deion Sanders don't have the cachet or the juice to really make those demands.
Caleb Williams. RG3 said that he believed Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning.
He don't got the juice.
Excuse me, sorry. It was Caleb Williams. I apologize.
Caleb Williams. RG3 said that he believed Caleb Williams should pull a Eli Manning.
He don't got the juice. He don't. When you think about, you ain't even got to say the first name. When you mention the word or utter the word Manning, I come with a little tremble. Like, when you think about Sanders, they don't even know. Half the people don't even know his last name.
Sometimes I ramble on and I say dumbass shit and I say incoherent things and I have incoherent thoughts and phrases and stuff like that. I say it. I do not throw my best fastball, especially when I'm tired and it's late at night, kind of like what it is right now. Here's the thing. I despise when somebody just says some dumbass shit and people eat that shit up like they're eating up caviar or they're eating up, barbecue chicken, straight out of Texas, fresh off the smoker for like 8 hours. Let it rest for another hour, make sure it's great. New York style pizza, just some delicious food. They eat bad shit up all the time. That's why people go to McDonald's, because they don't know what good food tastes like. They don't know what good arguments look like. And it's like sometimes it reminds me of the whole J. Cole shit like 2 weeks ago when people were trying to gas up J. Cole. I haven't even talked about the Drake stuff because I just haven't had the time. But it's like it reminds me of like the whole J. Cole thing when people were like, J. Cole really slapped on that diss track. And then you hear what Drake came out with last Friday. We'll talk about it on Friday. But it's so annoying to me that people will sometimes overinflate the relevance of a theme, not a theme, excuse me, but of a, what is it? God, I'm just so tired right now. But they will overinflate the relevance or the infamous or the, not infamous, but significance, or even, for example, the impact of like an argument or the quality of an argument. They'll be like, that argument was great and it sucked. Here's the thing. K- Cam Newton saying that Caleb Williams doesn't have the juice is incorrect. And it's like, when he said that, I was like, Cam Newton has zero instincts on how the NFL works and also how college football works. And some people may say, yes, he does. He obviously does. He's a football player. He know he's this, he's that. Cam Newton literally last year came out with a list of teams that he was willing to be the backup for, thinking that that was a good idea. Thinking that he was going to then get on a team. Hey, I'm Cam Newton. Huge locker room issue. And these are the teams that I will be on a team with. These are the teams that I am willing to be the backup quarterback with. These are the players that I am willing to be the backup quarterback for. And he thought that that was actually going to work. This is the Cam Newton that during the COVID pandemic, while we did not have a vaccine, literally breaks the fucking Patriots protocol. He breaks the fucking Patriots protocol. The Patriots ask their fucking players, the one thing you cannot do as a Patriot is to go outside of quarantine, break fucking quarantine, and potentially get the entire fucking team infected with COVID. And that is literally what him and Stephon Gilmore did. They went outside of New England. They had lunch with somebody else at another person's house. They then got COVID. They then could not play for like a week or 2 weeks. And then Cam Newton sucked because it turns out that COVID had absolutely brutalized his immune system. And he sucked for like the entirety of the season after having what was like his best start to a season in like 3 years. It's like this guy has the instincts of a 91-year-old man on his deathbed. He has like the reflexes of a sloth. He is so detached from what works and what does not work. And he's wearing a stupid ass hat right now. Caleb Williams doesn't have the juice. Let me put it to you in let me show you how and why Caleb Williams has the juice. Let me show you how. Let me show you why. Let me take a swig of my water here. Caleb Williams came out, understands his power. He understands that he's a great prospect. He understands that he's probably going to be one of the top prospects in this year's draft. He's very cognizant of it. He's very smart. Caleb Williams is like, look, late last year, 2023, November, December, he's like, I may not go to the draft depending on the team that is drafting. May not do it. So, the Bears, then completely and utterly get rid of a coveted prospect, a high talent. The league perceives him as a high talent, as a person that has a lot of potential to become a great player. They get rid of him, that person being Justin Fields, to provide zero controversy in the quarterback room for when they draft Caleb Williams, and they will draft Caleb Williams. They then go out and stock up on their wide receiving room and go out and get Keenan Allen, the star wide receiver for the Chargers, who just is coming off of his best season ever. And then they potentially, after drafting Caleb Williams, can and potentially will go out and get another offensive player, whether that's another offensive lineman or potential star wide receiver. They did all of that within 6 months. You know, if you asked me what I would do to marry a woman who looks like Kate Upton, or excuse me, if you ask like a lot of men, hey, if you had the ability to marry like a super hot supermodel that makes millions of dollars and is awesome and is like riding and dying, like she's married to a baseball player. Kate Upton is this gorgeous supermodel, but it's like, and she also rides for her, her husband, who's like this baseball player or whatever. She's 31 years old. Jesus Christ. I thought she was like 35. I thought she was way older than that. Oh my God. Anyways, she's married to Justin Verlander. But if you had like asked me, hey, 24, what would you do to marry Kate Upton? I'd be like, I would murder somebody. No, I'm just kidding. But it's like to get somebody who's awesome, you kind of have to upgrade your game. You have to be a better person. You have to figure out how to be a better person. You have to like put forth your best face, your best personality, your best representation of who you are. And it's like, that's exactly what the Bears have done. They're like, we kind of understand Caleb is in this weird position where Caleb is talking about potentially not wanting to go and be a Chicago Bear because we've shown that we can be a super dysfunctional organization. And so what we're going to do is we're going to get our act together and we're going to have all this capital. We're going to make draft capital. We're going to make all of these really smart decisions in regards to our roster. And we're going to kind of like clear the pathway up for Caleb Williams, specifically his entrance and genesis into Chicago, because we want to make a good impression. Cam Newton, the guy that literally breaks protocol for the Patriots, gets COVID, contracts COVID, spreads it either to Stephon Gilmore or Stephon spreads it to him. Regardless, he's out for like 2 weeks. Really, he was almost out for like a month because of how terrible it was for him. And he's now not on a team. Says that the Bears have, excuse me, Caleb Williams does not have any juice because of what? I mean, he says that the Mannings have juice, that the Mannings have cachet, but not Williams. I'm like, all right, dude. All right. That's my Cam Newton spiel. I'm so tired of that guy, man. Just so tired of it. I don't get it. I really don't. And I'm tired and I'm exhausted and I want to go to sleep. So I will. I'll see you on Wednesday. I'm going to get this out early Tuesday morning because it's like, that's kind of just how it is at this point. I'm going to get it out. I'll talk to you on Wednesday about defensive players, things of that nature. And I'll see you on Wednesday. 24th podcast.